recording. All right, good morning. We'll get started just a little bit early. Now, I want everybody to understand, we've come to a place in the Statue of a Perfect Man that we're going to start talking about faith. And faith is the new birth. We've been talking about that before, but let's today, you know, let's just put a nail in it. And because if you don't, if it's not in concrete, this foundation is in concrete, it's reinforced, you know, even the walls are reinforced, and that keeps this building from falling down. It's because the foundation was done correctly. So if we do our foundation correctly, and all of our foundation should be absolutely on faith. Faith not in yourself. You know, the world will tell you, say, well, have faith in yourself. And I agree with that. Be positive. Have faith that you can do it. Worldly things, you know, your job and stuff like that. But still, as Christians, we have to believe that we have faith that God has a hand in everything that we do. So we have to put our faith then back on Him, that He's the one that can do it. Because remember, by ourselves we're going to mess up. By ourselves we're going to make mistakes. By ourselves we're not going to ever be good enough. And I think that's the problem with a lot of us in here and in the church, and I mean church all over, message churches, is that we're not seeing, you know, we're not seeing great signs and wonders are great, you know, as far as what we, I don't, our expectation may be way up here, but you got to remember one thing. God is still here. God is no more weak than He was when He walked on the shores of Galilee. It's just that we have to become that temple that He can work through, because He cannot work through anything else. You say cannot? Yes, because He chose to work through man. He didn't choose to work through animals. He didn't choose to work through trees. He didn't choose to work through cars or even the economy. He didn't choose to do that. He chose to do it through individual men and women that He brought here on this earth, predestinated. Okay? But you had to come down here to make a choice. This is the part of you being here. It's the choice you have to make. It's like Brother Kidray was talking about last night. Choices. Look at all the examples that Brother Branham gave about the prostitutes what was her name? I told you last night. Rosella. Remember, Rosella was a drunk in a mental institution. She was a prostitute. And Brother Branham said, look at her now. She's winning souls for the Lord. Well, she got over, by God's help, she got over being what the choice she had made. But the consequence was she was in that insane asylum and nobody could help her. But Brother Branham went there and helped her, got down into the soul of the person, not just the emotional part or the... See, that's what Alcoholics Anonymous does, and that's what Reformation does. It reforms you. Alcoholics Anonymous is once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. So stay away from it. Don't ever touch it. Don't ever get... Well, become a Christian. Become a born-again Christian, and that doesn't reform you, that restores you. Restoration is bringing you back to where you didn't like that stuff to start with. Okay? Everybody understand what I'm saying? That's where you can, and you can't put all that, I'm going to try to take a bunch of examples, maybe not today, and we're going to put them together, because individually that doesn't mean you're born again. You can just have a good thought or you have a strong will to quit something. That's just Alcoholics Anonymous. That's Reformation. But to restore you is restoring the whole person. That's why I believe Brother Branham had to come and preach the Statue of a Perfect Man, to show that God can and will restore, not reform, restore a group of people back to a position. Because He wants, like I preached the other day on the glorification, there's two glorifications. There's one down here at the bottom of the pyramid when God says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm pleased to dwell. And then there's another glorification, because He said, I'll glorify it now and I'll glorify it again. What? Through the Son of Man, which is the Word made flesh. And that's what you and I are the Word made flesh. All right? We got to start believing that even our flesh has to yield to what's inside of us. We've got to see that. This flesh is nothing more than a shell. It's a framework. Something that when your mom and daddy got together, there was a DNA of this germ and a DNA of this germ, and they come together and they formed a life. The egg created the body, right? The egg from the female, which is a very wonderful type of the Word of God, because the father is the only one that has seed. You understand what I mean? Let's talk natural for just a second. The father is the only one that has seed. So I'm trying to build your faith, how do you got here, and how that God's going to build you up. So you don't have, that baby don't have seed. The baby is seed. The father has the seed, the sperm. Unless it connects with the female, it's just there. There's no connection to it. So you didn't come here with a seed in you. Your father had the seed. And when it connected with the mother, which the Bible says the mother is the Word of God. And even the Bible says the seed is the Word. So you have to put them both together. It's the Word quickening the Word. Because remember, and I want to give you the quote where Brother Branham said, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, but the seed or Word. So it's not the person that comes. It's not the Gwen Salas, or what she was before, Brown. Didn't come, because I'm going back to before she was married. It did not produce a child of God. It produced a child of the Browns. Given a soul by God, perfect, and then Satan comes in and perverts it. Because he can't create a soul. He perverts that soul, gives it a fallen nature. Now, if you don't get rid of that, that thing permeates that soul so much till it what? Blackens it out. Darkness. And it can't grow. But it's not a seed of God in you, as in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as in the new birth. I believe you have to receive that. But where does it come from? Your daddy comes to your mama. And then that is what is quickened in you or planted in you. You don't have this eternal germ. You have an eternal representation. You're represented eternally from God. And to a trained audience, you can say you was born with eternal life. Because potentially somewhere, if you were ever going to have it, God put it somewhere, but he put it in the Word. It's got to be a choice that you make. Does everybody understand that? It's a choice. God knew what choice you'd make, but you didn't. Had there been no fall, we would have come just completely perfect. Any way you look at it, we would have come. The spoken word is the original seed. So it was spoken word from the beginning, and it's got to go back to spoken word now. Right? In between, there was a fall. That's why this had to come. Brother Brown said God lets you come down in this to make your choice. He knew what choice you'd make. And if you're born again, truly born again, you know what choice you'd have made. Because you made that choice. Everybody understand that? Pretty simple but very complex. But I want you to see one thing. That you have to live by faith. Not that God has already placed something in you and you have nothing to do. And obviously you didn't have a thing to get yourself, you know. It had nothing to do with getting yourself here. We know that was divine providence. But God knowing when you got here that you would desire it more than life itself, he brought you here. That's why that he could bring other people that will never be able to come to eternal life. Because he knew if Adolf Hitler lived 1,000,000 years, he would never come and never get on his knees and say, God, I'm sorry for what I did. Okay? So therefore, I can see predestination. Because this has been predetermined by God. This is predetermined. There's nothing you can do about it, but you do when you get here, though. You get here to make a choice, and then when we make, it's not just making that choice. It's then we got to take these virtues and let them come back out. Okay? Well, see, you know, people take the quote where Brother Branham says, you were seed, that's how you could be reborn. Well, that's right, because it was in here, it wasn't in you. The Bible says the seed is the Word of God. And you were not born Word first. Jesus was born Word first, right? Because he comes straight from God. The germ was from God. Or the sperm was from God and the egg was from God. So man had nothing to do with that. He comes straight from God. That's why he can say, before Abraham was, I am. You can't say that. You can say that by the inside man. You can say way before that. But see, you can't say that outwardly because it stumbles people. We got to be really mature to sometimes talk about this. But I'd rather be so immature that we understand we got to be born again. We understand that we got to have something to do. You say, oh, we got nothing to do with it. You got to say yes or no. Eve made a choice. She said yes. She could have said no. She could have said no and got behind her husband, and that would have been it. But she made a choice. Cain made a choice. Every person that's been on the face of this earth that has come to the age of accountability has made a choice. So that way Adolf Hitler can't come up and say, God, you created me this way. Why are you sending me to hell and sending this person to heaven? God said, one day I came to you. Because he come from a religious family. He was part Jew. So why didn't he? He said, because what you chose. I gave it to you right here. I believe he'll tell every person on the face of this earth that's come to the age of accountability. He'll say, I tried to contact you right here. And that person is going to have to remember that because, like Kid Ray said yesterday, he said there's a time where every one of them that Brother Branham related those questions, they took him back to the very spot. Remember even the soldier that the priest said, you need to go find God where you left him. He said, now lay me down to sleep. Well, he knew right then where he'd left God. So you'll go right back to where you left God, and it'll be quickened to your mind, and you'll say, okay. Well, see, then there's the judgment. Then you walk away. That's right. Absolutely. Same way with us. Same way with you and I. So that's what we respond to. It's like the little quote that I made a long time ago when I was preaching a sermon. It's God knew what part of the Bible you would need, and he had it right here, knowing that one day you would respond to that part of that Bible. You responded to some part of this. You didn't respond to Greer's Almanac or you know, Modern Day for Living. And all. No, you didn't respond to that. You responded to somebody. Somebody read a scripture and preached a sermon, or somebody talked about God. Well, where's God in the Word? And then that quickened something in your heart, and you didn't relate back to that person. You related back to the scripture. All right? None good, no, not one. But be ye therefore perfect. I can see both. You got to come to an altar, and it's hard to read in the message of the hour, because Brother Branham would say, I've got one book at home, and I probably, since I put it up moving my stuff, but you can flip the book open, and I can't remember the name of it. Right here on top of the page, it says, you were not born on any certain day, you always was eternal. Then right down here at the very bottom, he's calling an altar call. And he says, your eternal life starts at the altar. Now, he's not confused. He's up here in the mind of God, and he's down here talking to people. Does everybody get that? Yeah. Kathy didn't, because I see the furrows in her brain, in her face, in your brain. Well, see, in the mind of God, you always were eternal. If he sees one sin of yours, you're a goner. Just put it in my terms. You're out of here. So, if you have eternal life, that part of eternal life on this page he's preaching always was eternal. You never was born on any certain day. Right? That's because this was right here. The Bible, the Word of God was here for you before you got here. Not after you got here, before you got here. Okay? So here we go. Let me finish with Sister Cassie. Right here, eternal life. Brother Branham is saying, it's like I said one time before, Brother Branham is preaching to an audience. And he goes into the mind of God, and if they're born again, he sees nothing but eternal life. Purity. No certain day you were born. No, you know, you always were eternal. You was this eternal seed of God. True. But now when he comes down and starts preaching to humanity, same sermon, he's preaching to the people that are sinners, and he can see that. He's a prophet. He can see the light of the dark or the light of the dark. Well, the light's already got the light. They don't need it no more. But the dark he sees on the people. And he says, eternal life starts down here at the altar. You need to come down here to receive eternal life. Those that already had it didn't need it no more. Everybody understand that? Those that are out there didn't need eternal life no more. I can't do that. Brother Dale can't do that. So I just like to preach to everybody like the Brother Dale said, preach to everybody lost. And then let you make the choice. Because if we started preaching right now that you always was eternal, you never was lost, you didn't need to do this, you didn't need to do that, you just need to believe the message and come to church, we just have a bunch of rotten sinners. We'd fill this church full. We'd have to build another one, that's for sure. But I thank God we're not doing that. But we have preachers in the message that do preach that. All you got to do is just believe the message. Believe what? The Bible says believeth. You got to keep believing. Just friend.